Hey guys, so normally this is the part of the show where I advertise my Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, but I have something a bit more important to advertise today. No, this isn't a joke. This isn't like when I was like, oh, PaleoBites hemorrhoid cream. And no, this isn't a joke on a joke. It's like, oh, this is PaleoBites energy drink formula. No, of course not. No. And this isn't PaleoBites toilet paper either. I really undermined myself by doing so many jokes. So I have an actual book for you to actually buy with actual money. It's called Teslanauts. It's a steampunk set in the 1920s about a secret group of government agents led by Nikola Tesla that use incredible technology hidden to the world. And the main character learns of this organization on a quest to find out what happened to his father, who's been missing since World War I. And it's a romp. You really should check it out. It's available on Amazon, at Barnes and Noble, at thrift bookstores online. It's available for ebook and print. It's getting great reviews so far, and you should be part of the movement, because this book is what's current. Electrical pun. Also, I've got a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, and this month we're talking about Disney's Dinosaur as our pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, an underrated movie from 2000. You can check that out, I guess, too. Check them out in both. Support your local artists. Link is in the description for both of these things. Thank you for your support, and have a good day!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to PaleoBites, the podcast that's kind of like those other paleontology shows where they'll talk about, like, caudal vertebrae and fenestrae and other dry stuff, but instead replaces it with... farts. That's the show.
Farts and Donald Duck.
My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by the death-stricken, not really, New Zealander, Ben O'Regan. How are you?
I still got COVID.
You got COVID. I still haven't gotten it yet, but... well, it's only a matter of time at this point.
Count yourself lucky. Even the mildest strains are bloody horrible.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, like, mostly it's just, like, you feel really bad for, like, a day or two now, and then after that you're basically fine. Like, so, it's gotten mild enough, and which is good. I mean, still be careful, obviously, and you never know who could react to it poorly, so.
Exactly.
But it's, yeah, it sucks. I do not look forward to the day when I eventually get it, because I'm sure it's only a matter of time. But yeah, so here's my dinosaur-related question that is very dark, but I guess is fitting with the theme that we're talking about here in terms of COVID. So it seems, the general consensus seems to be that COVID came from a bat, right?
Yeah, with it potentially all of this does lean in conspiracy theory, it could have been from a lab, but we really don't
but
know
yeah,
for
but
sure.
It could have been, but mostly people think that someone ate a bat wrong or something, or a wrong
yeah,
bat.
Yeah, or some kind of cross-contamination from those horrific live food markets.
Exactly. Okay, so we imagine a Jurassic Park style, or Jurassic World style world, where the dinosaurs are roaming free and they're everywhere, and people are starting to eat the pterodactyls. Which pterodactyl that people eat do you think would make the worst disease?
Probably Dimorphodon, because that thing's an ugly-looking thing.
Yeah, I'd say Ignoranthus or Dimorphodon, yeah. Just don't eat the Dimorphodon. We saw in Jurassic World Dominion, they're already serving... They were serving some of those locusts, too, in that plane thing in Malta. Like, they were just like...
I actually didn't notice that, but I did see them cooking up some sort of prehistoric animal.
Yeah, they're cooking up some stuff, and yeah, they're cooking up one of the locusts, too. Okay, good luck, guys.
That whole animal market angers me.
Oh, yeah, but it's supposed to anger you. There's a scene, you haven't seen the extended edition, right?
Not yet, because I haven't been able to get out and get it on DVD yet.
There's a scene in the extended edition where that people, some people are complaining about, but like, they're like, oh, it's meant to be funny. I'm like, no, I think it's meant to be horrifying. And to show how bad this place is. There's a scene where, like, in this animal market, the Lystrosaurus is fighting, like, a little oviraptor.
Yep.
And then as they're fighting, the Lystrosaurus bites the oviraptor's head off. And that the oviraptor kind of stumbles around like a headless chicken. It doesn't die right away. So
that's kind of horrible.
It is really horrible, but it's like, it's meant to be horrible. People are like, oh, it's meant for jokes. No, it's not. I mean, you might laugh and be like, whoa, I didn't expect that. But it's meant to be like, this place sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it hits home in that whole thing that Jurassic World Onwards has been going on, which is like, captivity's fine, but the whole private animal trade and the more overt exploitation, like SeaWorld type stuff with the whales and that, is bloody horrible, and you see it with how the animals in that market are treated.
Exactly. Although I do like those Atrociraptors are really good. I know they kind of look just like Velociraptors, except for more squarish jaws.
And been bulkier.
But I just love the fact that they're Atrociraptors at all. Like, some are like, oh, I'd rather they be a different type of Velociraptor. Like, no! New species, Atrociraptor. Now
I also like that Femme Fatale's comment about them, which is like, these are thoroughbreds, no flashy hybrids here.
Even though they have scales and no feathers, but I do like that too.
The point being, they're only hybridized with what they need to be to fill in the gaps. They're not like a mismatch of different dinosaurs.
Exactly. And they do have the whole laser pointer thing, which I know some people are like, well, why don't they just use a gun? Here's the benefit that I see. You could use that. It seems like it could work with any laser as long as you have the acoustic. You could just get a little cat laser.
Yeah, and the whole point of the laser lighter thing is that they'll only target the people that they're made to. So whatever method they were using to train them, one, it's the same as they were using on the Indoraptor, but two, it's nowhere near as cruel because it seems to have worked.
Exactly. So I don't mind that. And plus, it makes a good action sequence with the motorcycles.
Right. I've been wanting a good motorcycle chase in the Jurassic Park series since I read the one in The Lost World.
There's been a few close ones. Like, there were some motorcycles in The Lost World. There were some motorcycles in, there's that one motorcycle in Jurassic World. But yeah, the Jurassic World Dominion, that one's like the first proper one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because if you've read The Lost World novel, there's a bit where Sarah Harding's driving along on a bike and she's got Kelly on the back holding the dart gun with the... that you never see actually get used in the movie. And they use it to kill a raptor that's stolen a set of keys to a crate that the other kid, Arby's, trapped in.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because Kelly in the movie is a composite of the young white girl Kelly and the young black boy Arby. And they rolled them into Ian's daughter, who is mentioned in the offhand in the original novel because Malcolm has kids, but you never actually see her.
Yeah, like in the first movie, Malcolm says he has 3, and then Dominion he says he has 5. So
yeah, but he probably settled down and had a family with Sarah Harding. Mind you, the fact that he was flirting with Sackler so much in the final film makes me think he didn't last with Harding either.
Well, no, exactly. And also, to be fair, that was kind of a throwback to the first movie where they were kind of flirting. And
and then he was trying to maintain his cover too. So
it's true. But he was pretty cool, though, wouldn't you say? And speaking of cool, we're talking about Coolosuchus, which is, it means the crocodile of Leslie Cool, who's a paleontologist.
And it's best known from walking with dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Type, it is a temnospondyl, an order of early amphibians that flourished in the Carboniferous and Permian, two geological periods way before this one. Size, 10 to 16 feet. /3 to 5 meters long, 880 to 1,100 pounds, 400 to 500 kilograms. So 16 feet.
It's about as large as the biggest saltwater crocodiles in Australia
get. Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. Diet carnivore, time early Cretaceous, 121 to 109 million years ago. Again, way late for a temnospondyl.
And as of 2022, the official state fossil emblem, Victoria, Australia.
Exactly, then that's its location, Victoria, Australia. And yeah, that's pretty cool. That's the official fossil of it. It was described in 1997, pop culture appearances, as you mentioned, the documentary Walking with Dinosaurs, but it's also in the documentary Paleo World. It's in Disney's Dinosaur, and the video games Jurassic Park Builder, Jurassic World the Game, Jurassic World Alive, and whatever this one's called, Dinosaur Simulator.
And it's technically in Zoo Tycoon, but you don't actually see it as a separate animal. It's part of that whole Lispondyl house thing that you can build with dinosaurs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So when people think of the giant amphibians of prehistoric times, they usually think back to the coal swamps of the Carboniferous, when everything was all muggy and gross, and full of bugs and goo, and other perfect stuff for giant amphibians to flourish. This group was called the Temnospondyls, a group of primeval amphibians that could reach upwards of 30 feet in length. I'm talking specifically about Prionosuchus on that one. So, 30 feet, that's like almost the size of like a Dinosuchus, but it's an amphibian.
Probably helps that it looks like they very rarely, if ever, left the water.
Exactly. They're much more fish-like, too, with those newt tails.
They do look a lot like a giant salamander.
Well, like, Prionosuchus in particular looks like a... It has a long snout like a crocodile, so it looks like a giant salamander, a newt salamander with a crocodile head, or a gharial head, more like.
Well, I haven't seen reconstructions of that one, so that would explain why I didn't know. Whereas yeah, no, if you look at Coolasuchus, it looks more like Diplocalus, whatever, you know, that one with the boomerang
head.
Yeah,
it's got the big boomerang head. Yeah, this one looks more like, yeah, like a more traditional store newt sort of thing, just big. Like, sort of like the Japanese giant salamander, you know that one?
Yeah, that's what I was comparing it to before.
Oh, yeah. It does look like that, yeah.
As you mentioned, it's a very late surviving representative of its group, and it thrived in climates that were too cold for crocodiles, or crocodilians, rather, during the Cretaceous.
That's the thing. That's why it lived for that long. But see, so the Temnospondylus did survive the Permian extinction and continued to flourish into the Triassic, evolving into successful families such as the Trematosauriids, which are among the only amphibians adapted to life in the sea. Did you know that? I learned that when researching this. There are sea amphibians back in the Triassic that were in the Temnospondylus.
Crikey. I want to know how, where they reproduce, in saltwater?
I guess. Apparently there's this one now called the crab-eating frog or something, that, like, it's sort of saltwater. It can tolerate saltwater to a point, and it's modern, but, like, it's only one species. So
yeah.
Usually amphibians are freshwater. So,
because yeah, I've always wondered why we've never found any fossil evidence. Like, it's not to mean that they didn't happen at some point, because who knows. But, like,
yeah,
some kind of giant marine amphibian that had gone neotonic, so effectively had returned to being a fish almost, by, like, becoming
right.
reproductive in the tadpole stage, keeping the gills.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could be cool. I'd like that. It makes me think of The Little Mermaid. There's this part under the sea. They rhyme all these animals with their instruments they're playing. They say the newt has the flute, and they see like a big newt with a flute. And I'm like, that wouldn't be in the ocean, but I like the lyric.
Ironically, amphibians weren't the first group to go back to the sea. They were beaten by reptiles way back in the Triassic. I forget the name. I think it was Mesopasaurs or something. There were these weird,
yeah,
crocky-like
yeah, like
things.
The, like, sort of like those, and also like the Nothosaurs, too.
Yeah.
Like, those are like the early reptiles going back to the sea, too. And then, yeah, like most, other than amphibians, there's been a lot of marine vertebrates that aren't fish. Because, you know, birds obviously
yeah.
did with penguins.
And before they had spirochetes.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got whales, so mammals did, and seals, yeah.
And then, with purely reptile groups, you had monitor lizards, which became, or, you know, relatives of them, which became the mosasaurs, because they filled
exactly.
in the niche that was left by ichthyosaurs dying out.
That's the thing that always fascinates me about mosasaurs. They are in the Squamata order of reptiles that includes lizards and snakes. They are basically sea serpents. Like, they are,
yeah.
like, they are so closely related
also
to lizards.
Also amazing
and
how quickly they evolved, because I think they were only really a thing in the last 30 to 25 million years of the Cretaceous.
Yeah, no, they
yet,
only...
If the new reconstructions
yeah.
are anything to go by, while they hadn't made it there yet, just like the early ichthyosaurs in the Triassic, they reached that shark-like shape, or dolphin-like
yeah,
shape
yeah,
with
they
shark
did.
Tail
and
very
like,
quickly.
They had the lobe fin tail, like with the big, like...
Yeah, and they probably had
yeah,
a fin on their back.
Exactly. Well, we're finding that most of them had, like, fish-like fins in the end, too. We now think a lot of plesiosaurs had that, too, so...
Makes sense.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, it's just amazing how much, like if you look at them in the 90s, they just look like these big spiny crocodile-like things, but now
yeah.
they look more like knockoff ichthyosaurs.
They do. Well, and especially if you go into one of our favorite things, the speculative evolution
yeah,
of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was actually about to say
some
that.
Of them
they
just
predicted
basically
them becoming like that, and then it turned out real life had been spec to it.
Exactly, but like some of them in spec look basically like lizard sharks. In fact, I think isn't one of them literally called a lizard shark?
Yeah, the mo sharks, like yeah, the lizard sharks or lizard whales.
Yeah, oh, good stuff.
And
I love
while
that.
We're on about spec, they had some pretty out there but cool stuff. And like you had the baleen squids, which had basically turned into these whale-like squids that were
oh,
filter
yeah.
feeders. And then you had the screaming ninja penguins of death, which were seal-like penguins. Some of them were whale-like. And then in the South Pole, you had giant...
yeah, we'll talk more about it on the Patreon.
Yeah.
So
consider that a teaser, everyone.
Exactly. So
unfortunately, the project is dead.
It is. But you can find copies of it online, so...
Yeah.
It's just a good little remnant of the internet.
There's even the PDF I've got floating around.
So, anyways, back to Coolasuchus. As the Triassic continued on, and archosaurs continued to expand their scaly claws across all available niches, they started getting outcompeted, particularly by a feisty group of archosaurs known as the Crocodilians, as we mentioned earlier. So, while Temnospondylus lived all around the world back in the day, by the time of the Jurassic, they were only known from Asia and Australia. There are only four known species currently known after Triassic. There's Cyderops from the early Jurassic, Gobiops from the mid-Jurassic, and Cynobrachiops from the late Jurassic.
I'm guessing Gobiops comes from the Gobi Desert.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gobi, and then Cynobrachiops is from China. So,
Well, of course, it's got Cyno in the name.
Yeah, exactly. So, the last one, though, the only known Tendo spawn known from the Cretaceous, and thus far the last known member of its entire family, is Coolosuchus from the early Cretaceous. So that's what we're talking about here. The last member of this once great lineage living alone in the cold waters of southern Australia that crocodiles could not survive in, particularly in the winter. It makes me feel kind of sad for it. It's like...
Yeah. It was probably found on the South Pole, too, now, if you think about it, because Australia and Antarctica were one continent back then.
They were, and that's like... And that's how, like, certain groups got around. Like, that's how the marsupials got to Australia, because I think they first evolved in South America, but then they walked through Antarctica, and by the time they got to Australia, the meteor hit, and they had all these available niches.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if one day when Antarctica's forward, if global warming keeps going on, or if we just start digging there again, we do find that...
Oh, there's
some
so many
actually,
fossils in Antarctica, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if some... if it's, like... A descendant of Coolosuchus or a related Dimnospondyl hung on past the KT boundary until Antarctica glaciated because it would have been too cold for crocs.
Right, right, exactly. It's kind of sad to see this old thing just kind of clinging on in this. It's kind of like the last blockbuster of like in the video store. There's one still left, and I think it's in Alaska or something, or Oregon. Like, it's still there. And by this point, it's basically a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
and also,
I remember John Oliver did, like, our fundraiser for it where they bought, like, the Gladiator jockstrap from Gladiator that was worn by Russell Crowe for and stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. But, like, yeah, this Blockbuster... It's, like, the Blockbuster company is dead, so this store is family-owned. And it's basically now just a tourist attraction. Although it does sell... It does the Blockbuster things, but yeah, can rent movies.
Video stores as a whole, the only place you really find them in the US now is, like, small family-owned ones out in the flyover states.
Well,
right?
I mean, streaming is just way more convenient now. Like,
well, it's also who the heck watches VHS anymore.
Exactly. Well, some people do. As a joke, did you know, like, a couple of years back, as, like, a Comic-Con sort of gift, Ryan Reynolds gave out VHS copies of Deadpool?
I'm not surprised that it's the superior video format.
Yeah, so, like, that was a you can get a collector's item, Deadpool on VHS, a movie from 2016, well after VHSs were dead.
Yeah. And if anyone doesn't get that line, I just said it's a reference to a show that I watched a few episodes of on Cartoon Network called The Regular Show at one point.
Oh, I was wondering what that quote was from, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's an episode where they're looking for a video rental that's gone missing, and when they go to the video store, the guy's like, well, it is the superior format to DVD.
Was sort of like, do you remember HD DVD when that tried to be a thing and then Blu-ray destroyed it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so.
Just like VHS versus Betamax, which was before my time.
Yeah. But it's just, that's what I imagine Coolosuchus is like. It's just this last thing that's fulfilling this niche in this one little part of the world. That's like clinging on.
The
as
modern
best
equivalent
again.
Would be the Coelacanth.
Yeah, exactly. Coelacanth is good stuff. Oh, that's such a cool-looking fish.
It's a creepy-looking thing.
It is. It is so creepy-looking. Like,
it's the eyes.
Yeah, no, exactly. It very is. Coolosuchus is also creepy-looking, too.
True.
I think, anyways.
Yeah, walking with dinosaurs made it look too cute there. If you look at the actual thing at its proper size, not that mid-size individual from Aussie episode, it's a creepy-looking Japanese salamander-like thing.
Exactly. Well, also, I think Walking with Dinosaurs, while it kind of looked cute from up close, there were a few scenes where it just looked very ominous, because, like, this is so weird. Like it had kind of a spooky feel to it, I think.
True, but when you saw it out of water or mostly unsubmerged, it just looked kind of goofy cute.
Yeah, like, that close-up when you looked at it from when it was swimming in the water on its own, then it was kind of cute, but, like, when it was stalking the Linnaeosaurus, or then when it grabbed that one from the...
When it ate the alpha... No, it didn't eat the alpha female, did it? I think that was a polar allosaur.
No. That was, polar allosaur / as we know now, Australovinator.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is what happened with Coolosuchus. Australia separated from Antarctica and started moving further up north. And who came back but the crocodiles? And that was the last blow for Coolosuchus, the Temnospondyls as a whole.
Yeah, unless we find a late surviving relic somewhere, which wouldn't be that surprising, but it would be a matter of
where
are they?
Yeah, maybe when like you were saying, maybe when Australia and Antarctica separated, there were some still in Antarctica.
I know, as many, I wouldn't be surprised if we find, like, with the coelacanth, there's some, like, a relic descendant living somewhere, but it would be a matter of, like, well, where, though, since we've explored most places.
Well, because, like, I think Antarctica didn't, like, freeze until, like, the late Eocene.
Yeah, I think it, like, it glaciated quite a bit, and then I think even during the Miocene, it still had a bit of life on it, like, shrubs all on the edges.
That'd be amazing if we found, like, one more surviving temnospondyle from, like, the Paleocene or Eocene.
Yeah.
I seriously doubt it, but how cool would that be?
It'd be even cooler if we found the species still alive today.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my god, temnospondyles, you just won't die. anyways, let's rate it 1 out of 65 million.
Coelacanthus, the first and the last.
Exactly. Coelacanthus, pretty cool, I'd say. I can give it a cool 55 million, because it's cool, man, this Coelacanthus.
Yeah. I'd probably rate it like maybe 45 million, just because at the end of the day it is an amphibian.
Yeah, amphibians are creepy, man. I've never liked amphibians, maybe just because I think of witches.
I don't even like frogs.
Frogs are creepy as hell. People don't seem to get, like, they're cute, I get it, but then the way they just jump suddenly, it's like, ah, they're like the jump scare.
Yeah, have you ever seen them eat something? It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's very terrifying. And, like, the fact that, like, the poison dart frogs have that much poison. How do they have that much poison on such a tiny little thing?
Indeed.
Like, I don't get it. Like, anyways, all right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdonaldcreator.com for any general questions to either co-host or any of the co-hosts. You can find me in social media at matthewdonaldcreator on Facebook, at matthewdonald64 on Twitter, and matthewdonald64 on Instagram. And I regret to inform you all, I finally went down the rabbit hole at matthewdonald64 on TikTok. I am on TikTok now.
Oh, God.
Finally, it took me long enough, but I was like, yeah, I kind of get it now. So the longest time I was like, TikTok, you kids.
Enjoy it while you can, because a lot of Western countries are banning it for surveillance reasons.
Oh,
because
it's basically Chinese spy software, I know.
Pretty much, I just didn't want to be the one to go there.
I get that. I've heard that too, but yeah, if you want to follow me on the Chinese spy software.
It's also really, really popular with creeps.
I can see that too, because a lot of girls dance scantily clad on it. But at the same time, you can also find like a bunch of like science stuff, and like I follow a lot of science stuff and space stuff and other sort of short videos from people. So there's some good stuff on there if you know how to look for it. So
true that. And there's a lot of funny reaction vids.
Funny reactions, people like ranking movies and other stuff.
Like people using like fart sprays as pranks, and like cars, and recording their partner's reactions.
Exactly. My favorite one I saw was this this one girl giving those little test thing to her husband, and her husband was like, oh, this isn't very funny. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I see it's positive. I was like, oh, you're giving me a COVID test. You tell me it's positive. We're just about to go on a trip. He's like, no, you know what that is? He's like, no, I know what this is. Like, this guy did not get that it was actually
a pregnancy test.
It was a pregnancy test. And she was trying to tell him that she was pregnant, but he just kept thinking it was a bad joke because, like, they were going to go on a trip and she was testing positive for COVID.
If someone's getting divorced.
I know. It was really funny. You never saw how he acted later when he was like, oh, no, it wasn't. It's a pregnancy test. That's pretty funny. Anyways, all right. I also have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. I might have mentioned some amphibian, because like the third book does go to Antarctica. And some amphibians were hibernating in the winter, but I don't think I said Coelacanthus by name. But I don't know if I did that. Who knows? I forget my own books. I also have a new book called Teslanauts. It's a steampunk. It has nothing to do with dinosaurs. If you want to support my work, there it is. It's also available on Amazon. So, and at Barnes & Noble, too. So,
And just a heads up, people, it's not alternate history, but it is science fiction.
It technically is alternate history, but it doesn't treat it like it. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
it's more like akin to that secret world kind of thing, like with Harry Potter,
yeah, it's
where
like this
it
all,
blends in.
This all happened behind the scenes, but history, the historical events as itself kind of happened unaltered. So, anyways, all right, well, that's it for this week. It's the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. Do your best.
I can't do much better because of COVID, unfortunately.
We're just being zombies, like... Yeah. Oh, that was good.
But it sounded like Barney taking a burp, and I don't mean that Barney from The Simpsons, I mean the purple Barney.
Oh, good stuff.
Well, I imagine, like, you go on and you put on Barney the Dinosaur, and then you just hear that, and then he's just sitting on a couch drunk at school.
Well, I mean, he's got to entertain all those kids, and he's, like, afterwards, he's got to be like, oh, man, this job.
It's got to suck putting on a happy look like that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, bye.